Hi, friends. Hello, hello. You're listening to I'm Sorry With the Podcast with Ashley Sleek. It's just like I showed up to your house, bottle of wine in hand, with like 45 to an hour of juicy ass gossip to talk about. Like, who doesn't want to do that? Hello, hello, and welcome back to I'm Sorry With the Podcast. I'm Ashley Sleek. I have to admit something to you all, okay? First of all, I'm trying very hard not to make it my entire personality for like a third summer in the row that it's hot in my apartment. That being said, it's hot in my apartment, and I went for a hiker walk this morning, and when I got back, I was like, it's hot. And so I had my hair in like a top knot, and so I put on like a cute little black jumpsuit. Shout out Old Navy. Like, shout out Old Navy. I'm sorry. I'm fully an Old Navy girl, which hopefully some of you will be happy about since you hate all my Shein life, which I did get some clothes, but honestly, like, the quality was bad, and I was like, fine. So anyways, I'm an Old Navy girl, and don't you dare come into my comments and start telling me about things about Old Navy. Like, please, for the love of God, I need to get clothes somewhere, okay? Anyways, so I'm in this cute Old Navy jumpsuit, and I had my hair in, like, a top knot, and I was like, oh my God, slay. Like, honestly, it looks so cute. I kind of just look like one of those baddies who can wear their hair up. Come to sit here on the podcast, and I absolutely am not one of those baddies that could wear their hair up. I was like, nope, run back into the bathroom, straighten that goddamn hair, and get it together. Like, I couldn't. And I recognize that, you know, I post like one 15-second clip of the podcast. However, I sit here and I stare at myself for the whole episode. So I just couldn't. I couldn't look. I could not look at that top knot. It was terrifying. But yeah, anyways, I'm gonna be honest with you all, I'm down bad, crying no gym. Like, the struggle's real. I just, today I'm hoping to kind of like get it together, even though part of that to me was waking up with my alarm and I could not do that, but also it's hot in my apartment. I think I'm like taking too much melatonin. This is why I can't do drugs, okay? Like, people have always been like, not always, but you know, they're like, oh my God, have you ever done drugs? And I'm like, no, because I don't understand limits and I don't understand myself. So like, here's the deal. I like took one melatonin gummy and I was like, it did make me fall asleep, but then the next night it didn't. So I took two, and now I'm just in the habit of taking two, and I feel like it's too much because when my alarm goes off, like, you guys, I know this is a cry for help, but like, I promise you I'm still with Andrew, and like, he went private practice and I was like, no, I'll stop shopping and I'll pay you. Like, okay, so no need to worry. But I like literally take a melatonin gummy. Like, I've been falling asleep around like 9:10 and I wake up at like 6. But the first time I did it, like, I literally went to bed at 9. I woke up at 8. There has been a lot going on in my personal life. So like, I understand, but I think that like, cause my alarm goes off and I should be good at 5, like going to sleep at 9, like work at 9 to 5, sleep at 9 to 5. Like, it should be fine, you know? But I'm not. I'm still tired. I think it's because I'm overdosing on the melatonin. So, but last night I was like, it's too hot. Like, I got to just try. I still didn't fall asleep till like a little bit later, but whatever. We're here now. I got up around like 6, which is fine. It's just like not me, you know? So anywho, yeah, this is why I don't do drugs, because I feel like I wouldn't think I felt it. And actually, I know this to be true, because once upon a time, sorry, Dad, but like, whatever, I'm old, I tried an edible, which I think I did talk about on the podcast, but in case I didn't, when I was in college, I tried an edible. It was on my college bucket list. I was like, when else am I going to do this? You know, I've never done like a hard drug, but I have smoked weed and I have done an edible. And when I did the edible, it was, I won't expose anybody else actually, so that's fair. But when I did it, I remember eating a part of a cookie and immediately feeling like, I didn't feel it, I need more cookie. And I don't think I ended up doing it because I feel like the people with me were like, don't do it. And that was so right, because I did get very high and I felt that I was high until the next day and I had to go to lacrosse practice and it was such a struggle. I ate so many mashed potatoes and yeah, we watched it. This is the end or something. And I just remember thinking the one friend that was over that did not do the edible, I thought she was narrating the movie and I was annoyed with her and I was like, stop. So anyways, this is why I don't do it, because I'm like, obviously, like, if I was not protected by my people, I probably ate that whole damn cookie. Like, I don't know, you know? And yeah, and then the times I smoke weed, honestly, I get anxious. Like, it's not fun. Like, I think I'm going to die. I remember I tried a gummy, too, and my head was spinning, and I was like, this is it for me. Like, it's over. So it's just, like, not my thing. But I have no judgments. You know, I just, this is just why I can't do it, you know? So anywho, now that we know all about Ashley's inability to do drugs, yeah, I've just been struggling. And I feel like I'm in a fever dream because the other day, I was like, I just need to, like, put something on TV. And I have to say this, I never really watch game shows, but when the Otter and I were together, there was one day where we watched Jeopardy for, like, a long time. And we just got so into it. And we almost, like, missed dinner, which is so off-brand for me. I love eating. But we were just so into it. And then I was like, oh, my God, we have to eat. But I was like, Jeopardy. And I never really watch those unless they're, like, presented to me. Okay, so I just wanted to watch something without, like, feelings and emotions. Because I did go back to Suits and it's effing me up. Like, I don't know why I keep watching this show. This is like, it hurts, you know? So anyways, I was watching The Quiz with Balls. Have you heard about this? Listen, okay. It's on Hulu. I don't know if it's on TV, but it's on Hulu. And the concept is that there's like six big old giant balls, okay? And your team goes up and it looks like, how do I describe it? It's like a big slide and there's all these balls on the top, okay? And basically there's like six of them or something and there's like five correct answers on the board. So you and your team decide and everybody stands in front of an answer and then they drop the balls. And then if you're standing in front of the incorrect answer, the ball's gonna like knock you into the water. And I could not stop watching this show. I was like, what the hell is happening? And they make a lot of ball jokes. And it's just like, it's very low grade comedy. But I was sucked in. I was like, literally, I woke up the next day and I was like, did I dream that show? Like, is that real? It is. It is. I tried to watch it again last night and it didn't captivate my attention as much. But maybe it was just that one day she was really down bad and she was like, I'm going to watch A Quiz with Balls. So I'm not saying that the podcast is a cry for help. But yeah, speaking of a cry for help, I was telling my coworkers, I was like, I'm going to tell you the story. And I do not want you to take this as a cry for help. But I've decided to date myself in June, which I've told you all. But something really bad happened. Something foiled my plans. Okay. And I'm so upset about it. So this was going to be the first week. I was like, I'm going to date myself in June. Okay. So my plan was to do the things that I love to do with the Otter, but like, you know, do them for myself or like invite friends. And if friends say no, like I still do it. Like that's kind of the thing. Cause it's like, it's easy to talk yourself out of it. And then that's the thing is that it's sometimes I get stuck in this loop of like, it must be so nice to have like a built-in person that will just like do whatever with you, you know? But it's like, reach out to the people. If they can't go, still do it. Anyways, I've been failing hard. And let me tell you. So one of the big things was that I used to always cook, and this is actually, I also did this with Scotland, like I'd always cook us dinner and I loved it and I thought it was really fun and I would like have all this fun looking up recipes and going and buying all the ingredients and I was like, this is so fun. So I decided to do that this Tuesday because, you know, I was like, I'm going to do it on Tuesday. It will be really fun. I got a whole recipe. Come home from work on Tuesday. It's 90 degrees in my apartment. And I was like, oh, shit, there's absolutely no way I'm turning on the oven. So I was like, I'm going to have to eat. So I get in the car, I'm chatting with my dad. And my original plan was to go to In-N-Out Burger. I was like, because I wanted a milkshake because I was depressed and it was hot. So I wanted a milkshake. I was depressed. It was hot. And I'm starting to drive all the way to In-N-Out Burger. And I said, and I just want you to know that, like, there are no In-N-Out Burgers in Campbell. Like, it's San Jose cut. So it's not that far. But, like, on a Tuesday afternoon with traffic, it's not the best. So anyways, I start driving over there and it's going to take me 25 minutes for, you know, context, according to the map. I start to drive there and suddenly I remember I don't have ketchup in my house. And if there's one thing about me is I'm absolutely not going to eat the In-N-Out Burger fries without ketchup, like them specifically. And I feel the same way about BK, but I have been able to work around it because I haven't had ketchup for a while and BK is a sustainable thing for me. So anyways, I realized that I must pivot because I'm like, and I know what you're thinking. You can get the ketchup packets. And because my first thought was, I could do the ketchup packets, but what if they don't give me enough? Then I'm just going to be enraged. And I know you could say, like, ask for extra, but what do they think extra is? I need ketchup on every fry, and if it's a big fry, I need a double dip. And I just can't trust that they're going to give me the right amount. And then also I got to rip them all up and squeeze, rip and squeeze. Like, I understand this is a first world problem, but I was not about to take that on this day. It was hot. Okay, period. So then I decide, okay, well, I know that they always give me good sauce at Chick-fil-A. So I could go to Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, oh my God, now I'm not going to get my Neapolitan milkshake. I said, you know what, maybe I'll get a strawberry milkshake. It'll be okay. So anyways, I take this gander to Chick-fil-A, okay? I get, my dad's asking me, you know, because I'm still on the phone with him. I said, pause. I muted so he couldn't hear my order because I didn't want to get judged, even though he's going to listen to this podcast. And he goes, did you get the chicken nuggets or did you get a sandwich? I said, oh, babe, I got both. And he was like, what? And I said, I got car nuggets. I said, listen, there's a little bit of things that I've taken from every relationship that I've ever had, you know? And car nuggets are something that I've learned a lot from with the Otter. We'd always get a set of car nugs for the drive home. And thank God I didn't use my Chick-fil-A sauce for my car nugs because I came home to find out they only gave me two. Two for French fries, a burger, and some nugs. I couldn't believe it. I said, you guys never let me down, but it's fine. It's fine because I enjoyed my car nugs without the sauce. And I actually enjoyed a lot of my French fries with my milkshake because, yes, I did get a strawberry shake. So this was all fine and dandy until I came home and I realized something. I went to Chick-fil-A during Pride Month. Like, are they going to revoke my ally card? Like, I couldn't. I was like, oh my God, not during Pride Month. First of all, it's a lot to admit that I went to Chick-fil-A in the first place, but I had to tell you the whole story. But the fact that I went to Chick-fil-A during Pride Month, I felt like I needed to come here. This is my confessional. As we know, I've literally named the podcast that before. But like, oh no. Oh no. It's bad. It's so bad. So anyways, this is my confession to you all. But I did, at least I got to eat. And then yesterday, I was like, it was supposed to be hotter. Like, it was going to be in the hundos. And so I ended up doing this thing where I came home. I turned on my air conditioning unit and then I went for a drive, talked to my best friend Kim on the phone, and the only degrees that got difference, it was 88, and when I came back, it was 83, and it literally stayed at 83 basically all night, and I was like, the Lord hates me. Like, I don't know, you know? But this is what I will say. I'm combating because, like I said, I'm trying not to make it my whole personality and just come on the podcast and complain about it all the time. So I purchased two new fans on Amazon and they're both pink. Okay, so I feel like this is gonna make me feel better. So I got a standing one because right now I've got the AC unit and another standing fan, and I basically have just had to bring that standing fan into every room that I'm in because I don't want to use my AC unit too much because I'm poor, you know? Like, I'm getting less poor, but like I said, I'm paying Andrew no insurance, so sacrifices must be made. I think the tall standing pink fan I'll put in the living room. Then I got a little mini pink fan to sit next to my face on my little nightstand. And then I'll use my other standing fan on the other side as like a full body. And that one's pink. So now I have two pink fans for each room. And this is how I'm going to combat. And also last night, so remember, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, for a long time, that one of the things that I did was I got in one of my influencer moments, someone, I did a collaboration with this like cooling blanket and I keep it in the freezer. So last night I put it in the freezer and then I laid it down flat because I slept on the couch because that's the only place the AC unit is. So I lay it down on the couch and then I laid on top of it. Ooh, girl, it felt so nice. But I'm determined to live through this heat spell and like not be annoying about it. So we'll try. Also, this isn't a story, but it could be because it's celebrity. But I just like need everybody to know that. And I don't mean to bash during Pride Month, but I saw a clip of JoJo Siwa performing and it was terrifying. It was terrifying. Like, I'm scared. I don't know. There was a lot happening, a lot of hands. And I don't know. But then at the same time, I guess like Olivia Rodrigo kind of does a little like, she does some things during her performances, but I don't know. I just want to know if we should be worried about JoJo or if we're going to see like actually see a Miley Cyrus renaissance. Like, I don't know. Anywho, one of my current favorite trends on TikTok right now is that people are listing their favorite Americans. So I thought I would do the same thing. And the very first guy that came to my mind was the guy that does, and I don't know why, but I think about this commercial all the time. So, you know that commercial where there's like a tube of water and there's like a hole in it and the water's shooting out and the guy just like comes in with this black tape and he like smacks it on and it like stops the leak? Like, that guy's my favorite American. So don't worry, I did the work to look up what it is. So it is Flex Tape, and his name is Phil Swift. No confirmation if he's related to Taylor, but Phil Swift is definitely my top tier favorite American. I think about that commercial all the time and how like crazy it is. He just like, there's water shooting out and he's like, I'll save us. And he just slaps a piece of tape on there and I can never forget it. My number two was Elle Woods, obviously an American icon. Winston Bishop, if you don't know, you should, from New Girl. The kettle corn guy at any 4th of July event / farmer's market. Like, those people are doing the absolute God bless America's Lord's work. Like, kettle corn to me just screams America when I'm in the mood to like it. Old MacDonald, he had a farm and we all sing about it. America. Clay Aiken, an American icon, you know, like, didn't win American Idol, but won America's hearts. Simone Biles, obviously, period. America's sweetheart. And then the judges from Pitch Perfect. I love them. So right now, those are my favorite Americans. Oh, also, I forgot to include, because, like, I guess I was born in San Jose, so I guess I'm from here, but I live here now, and I feel like I'd be remiss. And honestly, I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, so someone please call me out if I'm wrong. But I think the guy who wins the hot dog contest all the time is from San Jose. Joey something. Like, he just constantly wins his hot dog eating contest. And I believe he's from San Jose. Also my favorite American. That's so innocent. You're famous in America because you can, like, eat a bunch of hot dogs. Like, I love it. Okay, I just did something kind of weird. So I got into my MySpace top three stories. And my first one was about the cult that everybody's talking about. So the documentary, it's like Dancing for the Devil, the 7M cult. And I like went in, I had like facts, you know, I was reading statements. And when I got done, I just had this wash of negativity. And I just felt icky. And I was like, I don't know if I want this story on the podcast. Like, I don't know if I want to discuss this right now. Like, something about it just felt weird. And I do recognize that, like, I do get anxious a lot. And sometimes I like cut things out of the podcast for no reason. But honestly, like, I don't know, something just feels not right to me talking about it. So I'm going to go ahead and just remove and honor that feeling, which is such a therapy thing to say. Honor the feeling, sis. It's just, yeah. So anyways, I do only have two stories, but I watched the Vanderpump Rules reunion and I feel like there's so much in the Vanderpump universe to talk about that I think it can be its own. I think it can take up a couple stories. So I actually physically watched this reunion, the whole one, part three. And, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot to watch. And the thing is, I know I'm like kind of late to this because I'm sure people mostly talked about this last week, but like whatever. I just feel like it was really a power struggle, like we've been saying the whole time. Like, all that came to light was what we already knew, that there is a power struggle between being authentic and actually living your life and trying to make a good show, or what, quote unquote, you think is a good show. So basically what they did was, at the end of the episode, they had the cast basically watch the end of the season. So like, basically they get sent, because the reunion happens like not too long after the season wraps, so then they'll send them all like the pre-recorded, you know, like episodes and stuff. But they left out the last like 5 minutes or whatever of the season finale, which that was the part where Ariana and Sheena were talking, and then Tom Sandoval tries to come up and talk to Ariana, and Ariana walks out. And basically Lala's pissed about this because she's like, she literally says something like, I don't know someone who gets cheated on and like suddenly becomes God. Like, she's so annoyed. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. So anyways, we all know that like Lala's trying to get her bag. So this reunion comes out. Honestly, it was just upsetting for Ariana. And then Ariana went on Katie and, oh my God, Dana's podcast, Disrespectfully. And actually, like, they had a lot to say, which I thought was really something that I didn't honestly think about. But they were mentioning that it felt like it was a targeted attack on Ariana because, like, Katie literally said, like, that end of the show was not going to affect anybody else. Like, it was only going to affect Ariana. So them showing that was literally just like to get a reaction out of her. And Ariana was like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, this is what they wanted. They wanted to see me cry. And I did, like, I broke down. Like, it was really hurtful to hear everybody say those things. And Ariana could not have handled herself with more class. Like, I feel like the first reunion last year post Scandoval, like, she was like angry as she should be. And she was like fighting back. And this time she was just like, you know, very sad, honestly. And, you know, even with Sheena, like, Sheena kind of betrayed her a few times, and Ariana was just like, Sheena's always gonna be family. And, like, she was so nice to her, and I think she gets that Sheena has, you know, struggles with her people pleasing tendencies, and she wants everyone to be friends. And it was so sad to watch, like, literally Sheena panicking over Lala's friendship. And oh my God, have I been there. I've been Sheena. It broke my heart for Sheena. I have been there where you have a best friend. I had a best friend, you know, when I, like, kind of end of college, post-college after that. And I was constantly, constantly afraid of her being mad at me, which I do have that struggle with all my friends. But it was so different here because there was things that, like, there was just things that she would say or do, or I was always so nervous about her, like, her attitude or the way she would say things, because I always felt like I always internalized, and I felt like when she was upset, like, she took it out on me, and I was always so afraid of losing this friendship. And it was so exhausting. Like, there have been friendships that I've walked away from. Like, I have some to this day where I still think about them and I'm like, am sad about it. And there are people that I've walked away from that I'm like, I truly hope I never see you again. And I don't care. Like, I hope you have a good life. But, like, my life is so much better without you. And this is, like, one of those people. And I just felt that for Sheena. And I don't think Lala is trying to be toxic. But it's just, like, I hope that they can move past that, you know? And I get it. Like, Lala's worried about her bag. Whatever. But Ariana was right. Like, production did that literally just to hurt her feelings. They're like, we're going to get a reaction out of her. And it was sad. And, you know, it was super interesting because... So, Lala did this Amazon Live. And somebody asked her if she's been to something about her. And she was like, oh, they're open. That's so great. She's like, I didn't even know they were open. And she's like, honestly, like, I don't really go into West Hollywood that much, but, you know, when they're on DoorDash, like, I'll be all about it. Like, the sandwiches were so good. And, like, trying to be like a hater, not hater, it was like kind of a weird thing. And, you know, like, they talk about on the podcast, so something about her finally open, George said he went. And I'm excited to get his full report. I'm excited to get my ass down to LA and go myself. Like, I'm so excited. First of all, because I love Katie and Ariana. And I've been a Katie stan for a long time. But also because I love sandwiches. Sandwiches are my favorite food. So, like, the fact that we could get sandwiches and Katie and Ariana, like, I love, you know? And so anyways, I was very, very excited about this. But they said on the podcast... You know, because Dana brings up that, you know, the line was like way out the door and blah, blah, blah. And she says, like, does this make you feel good about all the haters that you have? And Ariana said something so beautiful. She was just like, the haters are just going to move the goalpost. And they're like, what do you mean by that? And she's like, you know, the haters are going to hate no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter that we were successful. They'll say, oh, you know, that it won't last, the success won't last. Or they'll say, well, you know, they're only famous right now, but, like, you know, it's gonna end, or the sandwiches probably aren't that good, it's all just the hype. She's like, you're never gonna prove the haters wrong, and you just need to do things, like, basically for yourself, like, and proud of your own success. And, like, that was kind of the biggest slay. Like, that was so insightful. Like, haters are just going to move the goalpost. Like, they are always just going to be trying to score. And if they can't score there, they're going to move the goalpost and go somewhere else. And I was like, that was so genius. And I've been struggling with a couple things in, like, my professional life. And honestly, one of my coworkers gave it to me straight. She was like, you have to, like, stop worrying so much about whatever, what, like, trying to please everybody. And I feel like that's right. Like, there are people, there have been people in my career like, that no matter what I did, they found something wrong with. And it doesn't matter how many stats I come out with, you know, it doesn't matter how much I try to prove my worth to them. Like, they're just never going to see it. And what's the point of proving that all to them, you know, when I should just be proving that to myself? And honestly, it came full circle to me right here on the podcast as I'm talking to you all. And I first I was like, that was just such a beautiful thing to say, but I just like felt it in my own life right now. And I think it's going to help with the down bad crying at the gym with no gym. I do need to go to the gym. I recognize that I've been making these excuses about not working out because it's too hot. And I'm like, you have a gym membership. They have AC in there. So I'm going to get better. You guys, here's the thing about me. I struggle a lot, but I do end up succeeding. Like, I try to remind myself that. Like, your girl's been hit a couple different times, but she keeps getting up. So we're going to get back up. I have, like, just the most amazing support system in the world. Like, I could not be more grateful for my friends and my family. And, you know, I feel that, like, I just got really lucky that I have people in my life right now who just, like, kind of let me go through it and are there for me when I need it and, you know, let me be a hermit when I need to and also pull me out of hermitness when I need to. So I just, you know, anyways, not to make everything about me, not to be a Sheena Shea. Anyways, I'm going to be honest. I do feel really bad for Sheena. I do actually. There are things she's done that are messed up, but yeah. Well, okay, so speaking of Sheena, let's talk about Stassi. So this is how I was like, this is really layered. So anyways, the reunion was whatever. Oh, sorry. Speaking of Sheena, my favorite part of Vanderpump Rules, I didn't watch the season, but my sister and I watched we watched the reunion together, and then we watched the uncut, uncensored, like, extra pieces. I don't remember what they call it, like behind Vanderpump Rules or whatever. And I can't believe they left this out. It was so funny. But basically, like, everybody except Tom Sandoval is over, I think, at Sheena's, and she is debuting her song APPLES. How you like that? You know, apples, iconic. And so James is like, this is a new song, right? Because I swear to God, if we're getting another, like, the country version as good as gold, I'm going to lose my mind. And I thought it was so funny because Sheena's just, like, re-debuted Good as Gold, like, 100 times. And it cracked me up, but it wasn't. And it was just such an iconic moment. But anyways, I saw this clip. I haven't actually listened to the episode yet. Stassi's podcast, I'm still trying to get back into. But I have gotten into Taylor Strucker's podcast, and I feel like when they're together, like, I wish the two of them just had a show together. It's so good. But I heard a clip of them, and I think it's on Stassi's podcast. I'll have to go back and listen. And Stassi makes a comment about how if she wasn't on a reality show, like, she would have never talked to Jackson Kristen again. Like, she was saying that, like, the reality show hits different. And she's like, and I feel bad for Ariana because she's like, I feel like, why should Ariana have to leave the show? Because, like, what Stassi was saying was, like, so in case you don't know, like, Stassi was dating Jax, and then Kristen, who's her best friend, hooked up with Jax. And so, like, this was, like, this big-ass storyline, you know, and kind of similar to Scandoval. But I do think, if I remember correctly, like, I think Jax and Stassi were, like, broken up, but they were very, like, on again, off again. And they, like, hid this for a long time. And basically, Stassi went crazy trying to convince everyone this happened. Everyone was like, shut up, Stassi. And then it actually happened. So anyways, all that is to say that she was going to leave the show. And then she was like, why should I have to leave the show? You know, and then she came back and she forgave them. And she was just saying, like, reality TV is different. Like, I don't know if I would have forgiven all of them, but I kind of had to because they're the cast of my show. And in order to, like, continue being a part of the show, I have to make up with them. And I thought that was really interesting. And she definitely, and I was glad that she said that she felt bad for Ariana and she doesn't think that she should have to do that. She should be able to just say, like, F Sandoval and he should get off the show. Cause I'm sure people were going to take this and twist it and say, oh, Stassi's, like, taking the side, you know, and saying, like, get over it and get on the show. Like, no, she's saying, like, this is basically, like, kind of inhumane. Like, these people who don't like each other shouldn't have to stay together. And I just found that really, really fascinating. So I am interested to see what else happens. I'm excited to get my booty down to LA. I don't know when I can, but I'm going to try and I'm going to go to something about her. And don't worry, I'll ask George for his full recap so we can share here on the podcast. Okay, so the last story I have, see, like I said, that one story was like four. So, like, it totally makes sense. But Miley Cyrus, of course, if Miley Cyrus is in the news, I'm going to be talking about it. So she was talking in an interview with W Magazine. She reflected on finally taking home her first Grammy and for the record of the year in the best pop solo performance, despite being active in the industry for 2 decades. She said, "No shade, but I've been doing this for 20 years and this is the first time I'm actually being taken seriously at the Grammys. I've had a hard time figuring out what the measurement is there. Because if we want to talk about stats and numbers, then where the F was I? And if you want to talk like impact on the culture, where the F was I? This is not about arrogance. I'm just proud of myself." And like, yeah, Miley Cyrus, the fact that Bangers wasn't nominated, it's like so annoying because I feel like if an artist does something edgy, they're put in a box, but like, and they can't win awards. But it's weird to me because it's certain people, because Lady Gaga arguably was as, you know, kind of out there as Miley Cyrus, but she was like, I wouldn't say she was taken seriously for it, but like her art was like kind of more respected. But I kind of feel the same way about Katy Perry. Like, I think Katy Perry could have won some Grammys. Like, she is a talented artist, you know? And I just think it's interesting. I feel like if you don't fit into the cookie cutter, and you know, this album of Miley's is arguably her most tame in the last couple of years. So it is interesting to see that that is what they're doing now. And I've always said that Miley Cyrus has deserved her flowers for a long, long, long time. Like, I can't wait to see you again. Even her cover of Every Rose Has a Thorn was a slay. And I know I constantly am on here talking about Miley Cyrus and all the amazing songs that she should be nominated for Grammys, but like, I'll never stop, and neither will she. And I also just really love that she was like, not to be arrogant, but I'm proud of myself. And like, yeah, it's annoying that she even has to say that, because of course she's a woman, so she has to, but it's like, she should be proud of herself. And what I love about this is that she has built herself like in a world to be proud of herself. So by the time that she got this Grammy, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm finally valued. I'm finally this. Like, she's saying, you know, where has this been? Where I feel like if she didn't have confidence in herself and didn't believe in her own work, like, it'd be easy to be like, oh my God, I finally made it. I got a Grammy. And she's like, no, where the hell have you guys been? Knock, knock. I've been doing this shit for years. Anyone else? The song, it's incredible. Also, there was talk about Beyonce. So the article said Cyrus most recently duetted with Beyonce on her Cowboy Carter track, Most Wanted. The album is already earning Grammy buzz for next year's awards, which it should. And she said, I wrote that song like 2.5 years ago. Number 2, Most Wanted. My mom would always go, I love that song so much. So when Beyonce reached out to me about music, I thought of it right away because it really encompassed our relationship. I told her, we don't have to get country. We are country. We've been country. I said, you know, between you being from Texas and me being from Tennessee, so much of us is going to be in this song. She said, getting to write a song and not just sing for Beyonce was a dream come true. We love. We love. I'm just excited for this Miley Renaissance. I'm excited for Beyonce doing something new. And I'm excited for this world in which artists are like, no, you're not going to put me in a box. Like, you got to give it to Taylor Swift. Like, she has evolved, and her most recent albums have been like so much more. They're just different than the other ones, you know? And I remember being resistant to the beginning, like when, you know, like Folklore and Evermore came out, I was like, I don't know about this. And then honestly, I just kept listening and I was like, actually, I do mess with this. And I love TTPD. It's not the same, but that's what I love about her having a discography. Like, I can just listen to Taylor Swift, the artist, and I can get a little bit of everything. And like, you know, I love it. So, little update about movies this weekend, because there are some coming out. So Bad Boys Ride or Die comes out this weekend. And I hope it does well because I'm in the industry, but I like don't see this doing well. It's like Will Smith trying to make a comeback with like a movie that people loved. And I will say he's been pretty silent since the whole slap incident, but I think people might still be mad with him. And I don't know, like Bad Boys was like a classic, but I just don't know if that many people want to see another one. I think that there might be this world in which we're living in that people, I think, are starting to get tired of like remakes. So I think that they should take a little pause, but it's okay. There's a lot of scary movies coming out. The Watchers is coming out. I know nothing about it except for I could be so wrong on this. Honestly, this is just coming from my head, but I'm pretty sure this is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter's film. So slay, we love, if you like this kind of stuff, I think you should watch it because we should support women in the arts. But yeah, it should be interesting. I'm not going to watch it. My thing I like to do is I ask Bestie Eloy, I say, you're going to watch these scary movies. Just like, give me the entire plot because I want to know what happens because their plots are always super interesting, but I'm never going to watch it. So I appreciate I've been met with a lot of resistance on this, but I think he's finally giving in and I appreciate it. So when I get the synopsis of it, I'll let you know. Let's talk a little sports. I have a lot to talk about Caitlin Clark. She's kind of like the moment, you know? So I'm going to start here because I was so excited. Brittany Mahomes gave Caitlin Clark a shout out on IG. I was so excited. So Brittany Mahomes posted a picture of Caitlin and said, "At Caitlin Clark, keep doing your thing. You're a baller and it's incredible to see what you're doing for the game in women's sports." I'm telling you guys, I become such a Brittany Mahomes stan. Like, thank you Taylor Swift for that, because honestly, like, she deserves it. She deserves it. And I already talked about that. But okay, here's the drama that probably led to this post. Okay, so the Chicago Sky guard, Chenity Carter, did a hip check on Caitlin Clark over the weekend. And it's kind of like the hottest topic to come out of the WNBA. And it's taken a lot of debate. So Carter initially said that after the 71-70 loss to the Indiana Fever, she said she ain't answering no Caitlin Clark questions. But she and Angel Reese spoke to media together. Okay, so what's juicy about Angel Reese? Remember, she was kind of the one who was like head-to-head with Caitlin Clark throughout like the college career. So like, I think people were excited to see this play out in the WNBA, kind of like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. So anyways, they spoke together after Monday's practice session. And so she said, Carter, who hip check, I saw the hip check, you guys, and listen. When I played sports, okay, I was mean. And I would always say, if I knocked down a girl, I would look at the ref and I would say it was the laws of physics. I would literally like check a girl and she would hit the ground and I would turn to the ref and I would say, what? It's the laws of physics. She's a small girl and I'm a bigger girl. So she ran into me and she fell down. Like, should I become a lawyer? I've been watching a lot of Suits and I feel like this is a big part of it, you know, is lying to make yourself look better. So anyways, okay. So she said that she has no regrets about the hip check. It honestly, it did look bad. She said, I'm going to compete and play 100% hard, no matter who it is or what it is that we're playing. And like, okay. Carter added that she has no complaints for how much flack that she and the Sky have gotten since the game and the foul and the generated treatment of Clark since she made her WN debut has been one of the biggest sports topics of conversation in social media. We've been able to take a lot of hits in the last 24 to 48 hours, and I'm still over here smiling. I'm not complaining. At the end of the day, it's all love outside of basketball. But when we're in those four lines, it's smoke. After all, it's all love. So, I mean, I kind of get it, because, like, she's just saying, like, I'm going to be a tough competitor or whatever. But, like, I don't know if she'd say it's all love outside, because I know that she kind of has said some things on Twitter. But you know what? She's competitive and, you know, it must be hard. If you're in the WNBA, I feel like you could go about this two ways. All of a sudden, Caitlin Clark shows up and everything's about her. So there has to be a part of you that's like annoyed because you have been fighting for so long to like make this sport good. And then this girl just shows up and now the sport's like not good, but like, you know, like people are paying attention to it. There's got to be a little bit of bitterness there. So I understand that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I think you can also look at it like, oh, thank God. Like, one person succeeding is us all succeeding. So Caitlin Clark is good for the WNBA. So people paying attention to her is going to be people paying attention to me and the sport and all that stuff. So Caitlin Clark did address this after the game. She said, I wasn't expecting it. It is what it is. It's a physical game. Go make the free throw and execute with the offense. And I feel like that's kind of what we did. So it's just really interesting because I feel like, you know, Caitlin handled this the best way. I don't even think she was like, yeah, she hip checked me, whatever, like it's a game. And I feel like that was the best response she could have had. And I don't even think it was a PR move. I think that's genuinely, to me, Caitlin Clark gives I care about my sport, period. Like, I'm a competitor, period. All this other stuff and this hype that's going on, it's great and I'm happy about it. Like, I'm happy to be a part of like the renaissance of the WNBA, but like, we're good. My dad also sent me a story about this. Okay, so Pat McAfee, is that his name? Pat? Yeah, Pat McAfee. He's in trouble right now. He's made some controversial statements. So It's interesting because Pat McAfee is, to me, the epitome of a white sportscaster. This guy's got a podcast, and every time I see clips of it, he's yelling. He's always yelling. I was like, does your voice hurt? Like, you're always... I've never seen a clip where he's, like, talking in a normal voice. And usually, I do feel like the things that he's saying I have agreed with, but I don't understand why he's yelling. And I... Listen, I'm one of those people who does not know my volume, and I have been caught yelling and screaming and not understanding as most recently as last Friday. So, like, it happens, but I'm like, sir. So, anyways, basically, he called Caitlin Clark just like a white bitch. So his quote was, I would like the media that continue to say this rookie class, not just call it what it is. It's one white bitch for the Indiana team who's a superstar. And I hate this. At first, I thought what he was trying to say was like, you know, we should be talking about everybody. But then I was like, oh, no. He did the exact opposite. Like, when I first read it, I read it incorrectly. And I thought he was trying to, like, stand up for everyone else and be like, there's other people in this rookie class. But no, he's literally saying, like, call it what it is. It's just this one good white girl. And, like, I don't think that's very fair. There are a lot of people in this rookie class who have arguably been making headlines. Like, and I just realized, I think I called Angela Reese. So I'm so sorry about that. But Angel Reese, like, she was in the media, and I feel so bad. My dad's gonna be so mad at me because he talks to me about this girl all the time. But there is a really tall blonde girl who played at Stanford, and you know, I see her all the time. I see her cute outfits. I've seen her clips talking about her boyfriend. Like, these girls are famous. Like, they're famous, and it's not just Caitlin Clark is, sorry, her name's hard to say. She's amazing, but I just think it's, like, not fair. Also, like, I think it was just kind of rude to just call her a white bitch. Anyways, I haven't seen any other traction about this, but people are, like, super pissed off. So, you guys, I'm so sorry. I've literally, like, my voice is giving out on me. I think I'm, like, I don't know if I'm getting a cold, or I think it might just be allergies or the fact that I'm hot. But I'm so sorry for all the absolute mess ups and, like, girl learn how to speak. But, like, we're almost through it, I swear. So anyways, I just had to share one more sad news about sports, and because I think my dad would also be so upset with me if I didn't share this news. But Sonoma State football legend Larry Allen passed away. And here's the thing. When I went to Sonoma State, there was no football team, but there's like one legend, it seems, that have come out of the Sonoma State football world, and unfortunately he has passed away. So RIP Larry Allen, thank you for making Sonoma State cool. We love that for you. And yeah, so I had to mention it because I felt like, as a Seawolf, but he was probably a Cossack. But anyways, very sad. He also played for the 49ers, which is cool. So he was like a full Ashley guy. And I really meant to do more research on him, and I forgot. So not really honoring his legacy very well, but maybe I'll do that in the next episode. Okay, let's get into a little Ashley's advice. I got another question submitted, which we love. Don't forget, you can submit questions on my Instagram or TikTok, link in bio. It's anonymous, so write whatever you want, you know? But like, be nice, okay? I thought this was really interesting because also in this question, I'm gonna talk about this, like, I changed my answer this morning. Okay, well, anyways, why don't I just tell you what it is? Okay. Hi, Ashley. Love the pod. I know that you've mentioned a few times about having to go to weddings on your own after a breakup, and I'm in a similar situation. My boyfriend and I of 5 years just broke up, and my best friend's wedding is only a few months away. Obviously, I had a plus one because he was going to come with me, but we haven't really talked about what to do with it. Do you think that I should ask her if I could bring a friend or just not bring it up at all? Would you try to bring somebody or not? Also, any advice for getting through the day in general? It's so funny because my advice here actually wasn't going to change, but I had this realization this morning. It was so interesting. So overall, this is what I've done because this has happened to me a few times. And every time for me, I'm like, you know, just give my plus one away, especially if you're a bridesmaid, because it's just like, you know, whatever. And sometimes the bride has been like, you know, just bring someone anyways, like, I already have the numbers, whatever. But I'm, to me, honestly, and maybe I'm looking at it from a completely different perspective, and I'm looking at it from the perspective of mostly the bride who has to cut people out of her life. So this is like, not out of her life. That was so dramatic. I'm leaving it because it was so dramatic. They have to cut people out of their wedding. And I've seen how hard it is to make a guest list. And there's probably like a work friend or someone that they really wanted to invite, but they couldn't because they were giving you a plus one, which was like a solid move. So every time it's happened to me, I very much have been like, I either one haven't brought it up, or I've been like, listen, give my plus one away. And then sometimes, like I said, the bride's, you know, tells me to bring them. And so it's interesting because when I was thinking about this question, the only memories that were coming to my head were the times where I did end up bringing a plus one. So like for my friend Haley's, like I ended up bringing George, and it was so fun and all this stuff. And then, you know, the two that I officiated, I did had breakups right before then, and I brought Jenna to both, and we had such a good time, right? But it was so funny to me because it did not even cross my mind until this morning when I was on Hot Girl Walk that I was like, oh yeah, like this happened with cousin Danielle's wedding. Like the otter was invited, and you know, obviously we broke up, and you know, I didn't bring anybody else. And then in my friend Aaron's wedding, you know, Scotland and I had broken up, and I didn't bring anybody else. And it's so funny to me because I had this, I've been sitting on this for like 2 days thinking about it, and it didn't even cross my mind. And I say this to say that I had so much fun at these weddings by myself that I forgot that I even was supposed to bring somebody in the first place. And I feel like at the time, you know, you're like, oh yeah, this is hard. So-and-so was supposed to be here with me. But I'm looking back on those memories and I genuinely forgot. Like genuinely, obviously I'm not forgetting about those breakups. They were hard. But when I look back on those weddings, I truly do not think about the fact that somebody was supposed to be there with me. I had the time of my life. I was having the good time, and to the point where I was talking to my mom last night and I still didn't realize, because I was talking about how, you know, how much I love having hotel rooms to myself, and especially after weddings. Like after Aaron's wedding, I came home to this hotel room by myself. I got to make the air conditioning so cold, and I laid in this big ass bed after being a maid of honor all day. And I loved it. And I was like, because I was talking about Kim's wedding upcoming, and I was like, I think I'm just going to get my own hotel room. Like, it's a sleigh, you know? And I had the best time. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is that it's interesting to me that things that feel like they're the end of the world at the moment and are such a big deal, they end up not really mattering. It's kind of like what I tell brides all the time. Like, something's probably going to go wrong on your wedding day. But when you look back at the memories, like, it might come up, but it's not going to be the thing that you think about. And like, I think when it comes to plus ones at weddings, like when it comes to being a guest, that's a whole different thing. And I'll talk about that after. But you know, if you're a bridesmaid, you probably already know everybody. And honestly, like you're not really with a date anyways. It's nice to have one, of course. Like I love looking back and getting to spend special moments of being a bridesmaid with Jimmy there. Like I did think that was so fun and everything. But like the times that I didn't have a partner there, like that wasn't the narrative. I just want to say that like any of these brides, if I would have asked them for a plus one, like I know they would have given it to me, but like I didn't need it. That's the moral of the story, you know? And so I know it feels like it's the end of the world. Like it feels like, oh my gosh, I have to go to another wedding alone, blah, blah, blah. But when you're there, like you truly don't even notice. Like you're there for the bride and the bride, like, and that's it. And so I don't even think it's a big deal. My honest opinion on it is to just let the bride invite someone that they'd want to invite. And if they really don't have anybody and they're like, take a plus one. Like to me, George was so great because he actually knew Haley's husband's friends, and his cousins were going. So it was like perfect. It was so fun. And then actually I forgot that I brought Eloy to a wedding too. And he knew the bride and the groom. So that was perfect. And then with Kenzie's wedding, when I brought Jenna, Jenna's sister was invited. And, you know, with Alistair and Emily's, like, Jenna didn't know anyone, but I didn't actually know that many people either, which is what I bring to as a guest. So I was also invited to my cousin Rachel's wedding, and you know, the otter was supposed to come with me to that. And, you know, I didn't know as many people at that wedding. Like, everybody that I knew would have hung out with was in the bridal party. So I did end up asking if I could still have a plus one. And she was so great about it. I was like, listen, we broke up and I'm so sorry. Like, do you mind if I bring a friend? And she was so great. She was like, no. And I brought my friend Victoria and we had the time of our lives and it was wonderful. So if you are feeling uncomfortable and you feel like you need somebody there, I don't think it's crazy to ask. But if you're like, if these are your friends and you think like, if you are just wanting to do it because you're insecure about going alone, don't do it. Challenge yourself. I'm telling you, like, it's so funny to me how I literally wouldn't have even, genuinely, if I would have recorded this yesterday, I wouldn't have even brought up those weddings. Like, I completely forgot about it. And I love that. I just had the time of my life at these weddings. And looking back on it, I don't even think about the fact that those people weren't there, you know? And I want that for you. And and my advice for getting through it is, I know, like this, remember that at some point, you're not going to think about that part and live in the moment and embrace everything and just have fun. There were definitely moments at both I can remember wishing that they were there and being like, oh, this would have been cool. But they were so fleeting. They were so fleeting. And I get it because, like, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hear about marriage while I'm going through a breakup. And I've married two people while going through breakups. And listen, first of all, Taylor Swift wrote a perfect song for this. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. But it's just really interesting when you just let yourself be immersed in somebody else's life. It's so fascinating to see how much what you're going through doesn't matter. Like, I was having so much fun with the girlies singing Enchanted and getting ready at Danielle's. Like, I just immersed myself in that. And when my brain would start to go to, like, Missing the Otter, I would just really dial it back. And I have to tell you that once we got into the nitty gritty, like, it didn't really come up. I was just so excited to be there. I was so excited to be there. I was so happy to be there. And I think if you just, like, let go and let yourself enjoy and just know, hey, you know what? There's going to be moments where this is going to come up and it might hurt, but I'm going to try to recenter and focus on the moment. You're going to do great. Like, you're going to really enjoy it. And like I said, keep replaying I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, Taylor Swift. Like, that song was written for this exact moment. And I'm so glad you wrote in about this because honestly, not to make it about me again, but it was nice to have that reflection. Like, I genuinely, like, just enjoyed myself so much at these weddings that it is a funny story I like to tell about getting through, you know, the times of the weddings that, like, you know, I've been to where I've literally gone through a breakup right before. Like, it's a funny story, but to me it's like a story of resilience, like, and okayness, and just speaks more to, like, the love of I have for the people in my life and just the way they make me feel, that there really was not this feeling as much of emptiness and sadness. And when you're in your hotel room by yourself, it might get sad for a moment, but then remember that you can set the AC at any temperature that you want and you can spread the hell out. And I promise you, girl, you're going to be fine. And you don't have to worry about pooping. That's my other thing. It's like, there's no hiding in the hotel. And I understand, like, at some point in your relationship, you're going to have to understand that each other poops. But the way I was so excited to have a hotel room by myself because I could poop at any point, do it for the poops. Okay, let's get into the I'm sorry what moment of the week. Okay, can we literally just stop accusing people of being pregnant? I don't understand how we have not learned. How have we not lived, laughed, and learned the situation? So Lady Gaga is basically being accused of being pregnant. I say accused of being pregnant. People are speculating that she's pregnant. It's just like, shut up. Like, no, seriously, shut up. Like, I don't want to hear your theories on people being pregnant anymore. Be quiet. When they want to tell you, they will tell you. And I know I'm sorry you wanted this before, but it's come up again. So Lady Gaga addressed the controversy and she posted a picture of herself. And she said, not pregnant, just down bad crying at the gym. And I was like, relatable. Down bad crying, no gym. And honestly, first and foremost, I was just so excited to see her use a Taylor Swift reference. I was like, wait, are these two friends? Because I'm obsessed. But Taylor Swift even then commented and she said, can we all agree that it's invasive and irresponsible to comment on a woman's body? Gaga doesn't owe anyone a explanation and neither does any woman. Like, we love. I mean, honestly, like, I'm so grateful that we got this moment between them. But, like, can we just stop? Like, shut up. Shut up. Like, I don't care if someone's pregnant until they tell me. And then that's exciting. Let them announce it in their own way. Let me see, you know, the cork board with the little baby coming, with the little ultrasound and a jumpsuit or whatever. Like, let people tell when they want to tell. And stop speculating because you're literally just calling someone fat. I'm so sick. Like, call it what it is. Call it what it is. You are just you are trying to cover up being an asshole and calling someone fat by speculating that they're pregnant. Well, if I say they're pregnant, then it's not mean. No, it's mean. Shut up. Like, ugh. Drives me absolutely up the walls. I'm sorry, what? Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from you. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I love you so much. It's been a fabulous episode. Please don't forget to submit your Ask Ashley questions on my Instagram or TikTok and links in the bio at Ashley Sleek. That's Ashley with two E's. Pray for me that it's going to stay cool. I'll let you know how my new fans look. Okay, I love you. Okay, bye.